aggressive.
Cream of the crop, especially.
A lot of talents in here.
Is that who you are?
Until you walked in.
I have to take off.
You just need to get back.
Anybody else coming?
Yes. Greg will be here any minute. And I've already got two online, and I got two more who I don't know. Absolutely. Do you want that one?
Oh, my God.
Good. We'll start in just a minute. The Otter AI.
You know what? It's so great. It's not perfect.
Yes.
But it's so much better than me trying to record all of the little details.
Sure.
We're going to try this out.
Yeah.
Is it, it's recording?
Alda Al just record.
It allows for multiple
view of the video, huh?
That is cool as well. So that landscape banner at the top allows for this.
Yeah, I have 360. And then two, last meeting, our audio wasn't running through the system, but this is all audio, so we will never have an issue again. We have USU on Zoom sharing the presentation with us.
Feels like it's a we need a whole separate degree to figure out some of
this came with some pretty easy instructions. I was pretty proud of myself.
Yeah. Yes, the 360 and we'll collect audio, but also has it's really me about making sure which connections, like they all have to be via USB-C, and I have to be plugged into power, projecting.
Yeah.
So. Totally mastered it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Superintendent, what do you think?
Let's get going.
All right. So online we have Principal Brittany Luck, and we have Superintendent Jason Young. And like I said, I know that at least one more person is coming in person, be it a little late, and expecting two more online.
I have a tough time that year to have this meeting. Is this kind of the week we've always had? But it's kind of.
It was when the board decided in May.
Is there a better week?
Maybe. I think here. Just because we're. Are you guys doing one of your teachers coming?
We have opening institute on Friday, and I was this close to not coming. I got Friday that I anticipated, so I'm going to come.
I'm leaving. I have to leave at I've got my new teacher orientation today in my part, but I'm going to have to leave here a little early, and
yeah,
my teacher is coming in tomorrow. So I wonder if we.
August is just really hard.
Yeah. You know. We need to maybe move it.
About sure. It's a great time, maybe the first week in August, but even that's to get our principals back.
Yeah. Well, we'll make it work.
Okay.
Superintendent Young, can you hear us okay?
Most of the time. Sometimes it's in and out just a little bit. I get every 2 out of 3 words, but mostly it's pretty good.
Okay. All right. We will use our outside voices.
We make one of these like live or not?
Okay. We'll see if it helps. Audio is running through with the owl.
That help, Jason? Hear us a little better now?
Yeah, that's better. I heard every word.
Don't, if I swear under my breath, probably hear that too. So, but it won't be anything as bad as what they use out in Duchesne County.
Maybe that's what it is. It's a AI tool there that bleeps out all your bad words. Maybe that was what was getting bleeped.
If it bleeped out all my improper grammar, it might be a silent meeting. We even have Becca here. Maybe you can pull me aside after.
Correct the grammar.
That's kind of been protocol over the years. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. We'll move along here. As I said, I need to be excused. I need to be out at UVU at 11. So if I leave here about, we're still rolling. I'll need to leave here about 10:40, 10:45.
And I did share that with Superintendent Long. He's fine.
Let's start with our consent calendar. I don't know if you want a few minutes, if you would like to make a motion. Got our consent calendar to approve. Includes our minutes, our year-to-date expenditures, and our service report. If you want to take a few minutes, you can. Whenever someone's ready to make a motion, we'll go from there.
Service report, is that most of the screen?
No, it's actually July.
Oh, this is, okay, it's July.
Which is a unique month.
Yeah. Mostly, yes, by services. Kids that are...
No, a lot of professional development. For me, a lot of all communities.
Yeah. Should we consent calendar just presented?
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Jason. All any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed online? Motion carries. We will do that just as one motion as it's listed as the consent calendar, those three things included. Okay, moving forward. It looks like we have a 10 a.m. time certain agenda item today. So we will obviously come back to that when guests show up. Are they coming in person or online?
She'll be here in person.
Okay. So we'll move to some discussion items.
What about the action items?
You bet. Did I miss the action items?
Charter representative.
Okay. I'll jump down there. Election of the FY25 charter representative. We just remind everybody that I think this board has been very open to having the charters. We've enjoyed having our charter representatives with us, and I think it started out with one and then two, and as that's been added, we think they add a lot to the discussion, and we've We've appreciated our association with them, and we want to do all we can to help them. As far as voting goes, as we anticipate more and more charter representatives coming on, we've asked them to elect a representative that will vote for them as a body. So
in our charter director PLC, we should express gratitude to Steve Williams, who is retired plus last year's representative. And the group discussed, and I'm sharing this because I cannot work vaccination, Brittany Luck, who is online, to be this year's representative.
Okay. So, yeah, definitely appreciation for Steve. Steve's been a good friend and a good member and contributed greatly to the discussions that we've had. We've appreciated Steve's service and what he's brought to the table. And he was a great active working member of this board. And we express Steve, wish him the best of luck in whatever his next endeavor is going to be. And hopefully he gets time to do whatever he wants and have some time for himself and his family. So, with that, we will. So the update. Thank you. With that, we will. We'll now turn some time over to the charter representatives, and it sounds like Brittany is online. Tess with us. We have any others? So are we feeling okay about doing this selection of two people?
Well. I think the whole board.
I think it's voting members that have to
make
that, right? So you see a motion, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, Jace, we just need a motion.
So.
I don't want to make all the motions.
Why don't you go ahead and make this one?
Okay, I can make it. So, I move that, we approve Brittany Luck is the fiscal year 25 charter representative for Dukes, who will represent all of our charter districts.
In the voting?
Yes.
Specifically in voting?
Yes.
Everyone else still has a voice at the table.
Yeah. This is our voting representative.
Do I hear a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, second from Jason. Any further discussion?
No, but I think that Brittany will do a really good job representing all of the charter school voices. Be good.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Looks like the voting is unanimous in favor. But have that taken care of. Welcome, Cassie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you. How are you?
Okay, we'll go back to our discussion items. Is that what you'd like to do, Piper? Region items, action may be pending, or is it somewhere else?
We have one more action item. Sorry.
Okay, we need to approve the employee contracts.
And this is just an amendment to one contract. So our BCBA, Katie Clark, will be finishing her EdSci program this year, and as such will be an EdSci intern. If the board approves to change her CACTUS assignment to EdSci intern, that allows her to the educator supplement stipend. And so this
amended contract represents that proposal.
You feel comfortable, Piper, with the amounts that are on there?
I do. I think it puts her in better alignment with her peers.
Does that total salary include the adjustment?
That does. That's kind of the
I would move that we accept the contract amendment.
I hear a second.
I'll second.
Seconded by Rick. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, chair votes aye. I believe the voting was unanimous. Thank you. Piper, can we go to discussion?
I'm so sorry. I'm just so worried if we didn't take care of those two action items.
This action item, I appreciate Becca. On my one, I brought with me actually, I had it down here.
I know. Before we went to publish it.
Thank you guys for trying to trip me.
No.
Didn't be humble.
No. So we have a couple birthdays. Tess' birthday was yesterday. She's finally 25. Happy birthday to you. And Paul's birthday is coming up. Towards the end of the month.
Yeah.
So happy birthday to you.
I'm 26.
Just barely.
Thank you.
1 year older than Tess. Right. Thank you very much. The Ribeye Rendezvous, we've got scheduled for September 9th. That's real quick. We have mailed invites out, going out today. We've invited all of our legislative representatives for our region, as well as Lexi, Dr. Dixon, the Utah State Board members in our region. And I will say I pushed out an electronic invite about a month ago, and I only have two declines, Milner and Wilson. So if people's schedules don't change, it's looking really promising as far as people coming out and joining us.
Who all did we invite from the state board?
Jim, Jenny, Molly. One more.
What's the one up in the morning? She came last time.
Jenny, you're on.
Yeah, Jenny. Jenny.
Yeah. Yes, we invited her.
Great. That sounds good.
So here's our list of who we've invited.
I think we just, as a reminder, our approach last year, which I thought worked very well, was not to be too policy heavy. This is more of a get to know you, let us have some time with one another, build a relationship, and not be too caught up in policy or influencing these folks one way or another. And obviously we would, in, you know, any of the just kind of granular natural conversations that occur, obviously that's great. And there'll be some of that, but formally we won't be standing up there with any itemized lists or priorities or anything like that. And I think that worked pretty well last year.
Okay, great. That was the... One change this year, Superintendent, that we talked about, taking out the budget, and what things cost last year and looking at this year, we saw that we could have everybody bring a guest, which may improve, turnout.
So that you yourself, you can what?
Everybody can bring a guest with them. So whether it's, your BA or another, we'll leave that up to you. But, we shared that with the legislators as well. And I think that sometimes helps them to have somebody else with them. A little less intimidating, overwhelming, I don't know. Any other questions about Rendezvous? Okay. Looking forward to another good year.
Maybe just one question about the whole day. So our USSA meeting then will be in Nebo. And did they go till 1 o'clock on that day, or was it still at noon, or what did we decide there?
They go till one.
So that's till one, and then we will meet there at Nebo from one till something.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then head to Jordan.
Yeah. So all the board decided to try to line up our activities. We'll learn whether or not that was a good idea.
We're gonna find out.
But I will just remind you that was the worst.
So you leave the base. Make sure you have your bag packed. Maybe an extra pair of underwear.
When
you'll be returning.
When we leave for the city, we plan to make a day of it. So this is
more for us. We're taking care of all three meals and everything. All right. We have talked about this. I don't know if this needs to go to action, but it has been in discussion before. I just have more detail now. Proposal of an ESL endorsement, the news and SUU partnership. This would start October 16th. There are 5 courses that are required for the ESL endorsement. And what I think our center is proud of is that we don't charge fees for providing endorsement courses. And so the only fees go to SUU, which means teachers can get their full ESL endorsement for $345.
Is this all virtual?
That's great.
So
it is all both virtual, both synchronous and asynchronous.
So is that different than what's been done in the past, the fee?
It is.
How have we been able to do that?
Does
that become a budget item for us, or is that it?
No, so it's interesting. Each RESA determines how they want to do endorsements in their customized way. So, for example, SDDC, they charge $275, of course, $275. Unless you are in their region, then it's free. CUES charges $275, of course, for everybody. And we already have coaching endorsement and ed tech endorsement, and we have never charged a fee as a service center. So that is part of our employees' job description, and so they provide the instruction as part of their work with news. And the reason the difference in cost is that the other service centers pay their staff above and beyond for teaching the endorsement coursework. So the additional fees, they did share with me that they do make money on their endorsements, but they also pay additional stipends to their staff. We talked about this in staff meeting. We had a retreat in July that I'll talk about in a second.
And I broached all of this with the staff again. And what was great is we had just completed a new mission statement. And they suggested, let's go back to our mission statement to make this decision. And it led them to the conclusion that they do not want to start charging fees for endorsements. It's what they see as one of the services we provide.
Okay.
Thank you.
So will you send out some information to the districts so we can get that to people?
Yes, absolutely.
And
just so you can see what that course sequence looks like, so we'll have the first course starting in October, and they'll be done August 18th.
Okay. So we're going to learn it in the virtual waiting room. It's not.
No.
He has 10%. If in the waiting room, can't come on my head.
Superintendent, where? I am born. Oh, yeah.
Reset. Yeah, maybe send him the link again. That's, he is not in the waiting room. I would last
look. He's in the wrong waiting room.
Right. All right. So you can see they will be able to complete that within the year. Okay. And here is, in case you want to get ahead of me, you're welcome to do so. Using this form. And then we'll register them. The rest of you. During the okay. News policy revisions work group. Okay to move on to that item. So we talked about updating some news policies in the lab meeting. Both in the board discussion and then as I circled back to staff. It became clear we needed to have some conversations together, staff and so I am seeking some input from the board. We've got Superintendent Mon, who has already signed up. It's possible to get a few others. And again, if not you, if someone from your HR, these are all personnel policies that we're looking at right now. We'd be thrilled to have that input.
Okay.
Like I'd mentioned, we had a news retreat in July. So to report on the outcomes from that, we were able to organize our calendaring and staffing supports for FY25. We, here he is. Let's pretend they'll have more to join us now. We worked with, outside facilitators on a new, news mission statement that I'd like to share with you and get your feedback on if that's all right. So, at News, we empower every rural school we serve in capacity, creating conditions for growth, providing equitable opportunities, supporting access to services and resources so that each student and adult can reach their greatest potential. We did decide this is a living, breathing mission statement, so, it's possible it'll continue to refine. Previously, we had 12 guiding principles, and we are moving to these 4 guiding principles, and in our next meeting, we'll be completing those sentence stems as far as guiding principles. any questions or comments about our updated mission statement?
It looks like a lot of work put in there, so thank you and all the staff that worked on that. It's extensive. All the following documents with it. It's extensive and well done and a lot of work.
Yeah, I will say we had every voice at the table for the mission statement, and it was a very collaborative process. It then informed what is a draft. I think that's what Superintendent Young's referring to, a draft of our strategic plan that kind of launches from that mission statement. I wanted to ask Superintendent, not having done a strategic plan with a board before, is this something to maybe flesh out with board leadership and bring back to the board? Or is it something we do in board meetings? What's your recommendation?
Well, I think that I think it can be helpful if you want to start with board leadership. It may just save us some time with the whole board where we're as scattered as we are. That's probably, it would probably be a good thing.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll schedule time next month for us to, you and Jason and I, to start working on that. In the meantime, of course, we welcome feedback. Anybody and everybody on that first draft. And
the only feedback I would have is very thorough and it's big. There's a lot. If you look at the goals and objectives, I don't know how you're possibly going to measure all of that. It's just there's a ton.
Okay.
So my feedback would be is to try to pare that down a little bit and be able to really focus on your key lead measures that are going to make the biggest impact. Just feedback.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful for it.
It's good feedback.
I appreciate it.
I think that's always a good exercise to go through and rank your majors. As Greg said, rank by other pieces of what you're trying to accomplish, they will affect. Focus on.
Well,
one to three.
You got such a great foundation here because now all you got to do is go through and practice, right?
Okay.
Because everything in here is good. It's just, are there some things that are, you're going to get more bang for your buck from, trying to measure all of them. So,
perfect. Thank
it's
you.
It's good work.
Okay. Appreciate that. And I think one of the greatest outcomes was increased collegiality and collaboration. A great experience for all of us. I will pause for our time to turn.
Great. Well, Cassie, we have you here.
Thanks.
Nice old time.
I know. I was excited to come here.
Tell us a little bit about.
Well, I'm not very, so I'm really,
I will have you if you will.
Oh yeah. So I'm online. Cassie Hayes, and I'm the new parent liaison. I am a direct report to the board. So that's a little bit odd. So I'm out there kind of on my own, literally my own person, my own island. And, the position has never existed before. It's in legislation, so you can see my job description in law. So anytime you're wondering if I'm doing my job, you can look there. I think the biggest misconception is that my title is parent liaison and engagement specialist, but I serve LEAs as well. And so that part, that's why I'm here, is to offer my services. I am in a unique position where I see all the things kind of, except for maybe fine. Well, no, I do see some finance too, because if there's an issue, then I'm seeing that. But I'm sort of like the canary in the coal mine. Mm-hmm. And I see all the trends happening and coming down the pike before they hit, And so I want to be able to help LEAs as much as possible navigate this component with parents, because I'm not going to lie, as a director of the charter for so long, every teacher I've ever spoken to, even in my career as a teacher, if you ask them what's the toughest part of your job, they always say parents, every single time. And it's never, you know, like the long hours. They never even say that. And that would be a thing. But it's the parents. And so, but I take all the, not all the complaints, but I take most of the complaints, and I work really, you know, I work closely with internal audit. And so I see, and I'm not going to lie, I've only come across maybe two parents since I started that were just kind of out there, you know, and I was like, oh, this is kind of, you know, off. But the rest of them have valid concerns. And I really think most of it, I mean, 99% of it boils down to miscommunication, almost always. But then the problem is then they go to the LEA, and then the LEA is like, I don't want to do this. And then then the LEA sometimes shuts down, and they're like, we're not going to reply because now this has become libelous. So it's like this weird death loop. And so I would like to try and help be that person that helps mitigate some of that situation. And there's more than that. Like you've got good parent engagement from what's happening in your district. But when I look at other districts and you look at parent engagement, it's really non-existent. It's in Title I or in special ed, but it's as a systemic process, it's not there. And I truly believe this, and mark my words, if we don't move to sort of more of a bit more, I don't know, like, I don't like using the term, you know, like commercialized or whatever, but, or a marketed type of methodology, enrollment is going down across the nation in public ed. And I feel like it's going to just keep going if we don't like bridge that gap somehow. And it's sort of just one of those necessary components. So anyway, I think there's a lot of things that can be done. Number one, I will say I've looked at every single website in the entire state of Utah, of every school district, and all the elementaries, all the things. There's no real, a lot of them don't have really good functioning complaint processes. And so they go straight to the state. And that's just silly, because some of them are the silliest things. And sometimes they have complained, but maybe not officially. Well, I told him in the hallway, you know, that this was a problem. And so I wish everyone would, you know, instead of just throwing the hot, that technically, you know, legislation says you can throw the hotline up. And they may be changing that board rule. But if there was a really good process for every district that was like, hey, here you go, tell me what you think, give me your feedback. It doesn't always have to be negative. Don't even call it complaint line. I had that at my school, and it was just like, this is the feedback. You know, if you have anything to report that you want, you have concerns about. And it was so good because I nipped things in the bud before they ever spiraled out of control. And so, anyway, that would be one thing I would love to see happen. But I am here to help in any aspect. And I don't know if you guys know this. Maybe you do if you watched the board meeting last week. But, you know, like the top three complaints, the top one is special ed, of course, which is the nature of that. But two, Leah's credit, honestly, she makes sure that every single complaint is logged. So that's why that is so big. Not to mention every parent that is in special ed has that documentation saying you can report any concern, right? So the second one, though, is coaching at sports. That one has exponentially risen, like out of control, crazy. And then the next one is bullying. And so although we've made headway in bullying, that was still an issue. So anyway, knowing those three components are the top three complaints kind of helps try and figure out and mitigate some of those situations. But where I'm seeing the breakdown is at the LEA point and the administration point. I'm not saying it's not them handling. It's just that's where it falls apart. The parent will say, hey, I'm having this problem, I'm reporting this. And sometimes they don't necessarily always say it in the way they should or like how. And sometimes they don't know what they're trying to say. And so it's a lot of stuff and you're just trying to weed through all of it. Like, what's the actual issue? But it's like once it gets there and then it's dealt with, that's where it seems to become this weird thing. And then they're like, okay, now I want to report someone for educator ethic infraction, which it probably never needed to go there. So anyway, I'm just saying that, like, I see all these things and I'm like, oh my gosh, these could be fixed so easily. So I'm just here to offer my services in any way that I can. And I do have to provide best practice and frameworks for districts, LEAs, educators, even at the teacher level. But I will say it really will never be super effective unless you have an effective leader implementing those things and, you know, making it systemic and putting it into policy and procedure. So there's that. But I also want to pick you guys' brains and see if you felt like we've had this conversation on multiple levels about I don't think the answer is, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, actually. It would totally depend on you guys, but especially in rural, because I'm from a rural area, so I'm very passionate about rural areas because they don't have as many resources. It's harder to do some of these things, but do you feel like maybe it would be helpful to have someone like me, a mini thing like that, in a district or in one of these rural regions? You know, like how we have things like special ed people, and you know, we've always had these your certified people that you're running through these courses, like you just talked about, you know, having those types of people where it's not your secretary that's taking the complaint and then feeding it on to the vice principal and then to the principal, you know, and then it goes to the board. And I'm telling you right now, they're not saying it to the board and you, they're saying it to the legislators at the same time. And that's why I'm here in the first place, is legislators were like, this is getting out of control, you know, because the parents are just going straight to legislators for things that don't need to go there. They need to go to the LEA first. That's where it needs to be handled first. So anyway, I want to pick your brains and figure out what can I do to help further that process so that we're not in these bizarre death loops of litigation that never needed to happen. And then too, you know, like the whole, you know, like these other board rules of reporting your teachers, and you have to send it straight to UPAC. All of that, you know, like a lot of this, I think, can just be, and I will not cover anything up. Like, I am not one of those people. I am not a person that's just like, oh, let's just make this go away. We'll not do that. But there are effective things that we can do to fix it. And it's different for every district, too. It's different for every school. Everyone has different demographics. So, anyway, I just want to pick your brain and see what you guys think. And
well, there's a difference between a cover-up and a handle things at the lowest.
Agreed. Yep.
In a very appropriate
right.
way. And oftentimes that's what we do.
Yeah.
And then somehow we get
well, for doing no, it. Sometimes it turns into, a lot of times parents don't understand. And that's part of my job. So I try and explain to them what the process is because they don't understand. They think that the USB, for the most part, they really do think USB is like the big mom or dad and can tell the districts. I'm like, no, they have autonomy. You know, they have their own policies and procedures. And not to mention, they can't tell you what they did with human resources. Like, that's the law. So they don't understand that. They literally don't get that. And so once they have some of those things explained to them, they're like, oh, I didn't know that. So
that's where I think connecting is that the miscommunication is also a function of a lack of trust. And that's where I think
exactly.
Our role, whatever else we do to support that, it's really about how do we build that trust? How do we have someone that parents can rely on and know that you've got their best interest in mind and not just really trying to either cover up or...
Right. And it can't be a team thing. You know, it can't be like someone's on this team or I'm on that team type of thing.
That's usually you know, where it starts.
Yeah.
Right? That sort of everybody gets to their own camps.
Yep. And always.
Trusted there.
Yeah.
And so I think you already spoke about this, best practices, frameworks for that, getting that out, getting leaders.
Yes.
on board with that. So I think any opportunity to work collaboratively on that, and for school leaders to understand that, hey, I'm not alone in this, and
yeah,
there are lots of other people who are going to be embracing the same framework, so I can bring it to my board and say, here's how we want to be able to do this, because we're going to be doing this across the state in a way that's consistent enough. Because you mentioned we all have different groups of our constituents, but just there are going to be some variations in a tiny small charter school like mine and a large district.
I feel like it's one of those things that if you have in place, it's been so much work on the tail end. And I visited with CUES, it was probably April or May, and they were so fun, but they were like, some of the things that they've been dealing with, they're just like, you know, it's like their heads are about to pop off, because it's just crazy. How did it get from here to there? You know, like, what happened? And what happens is, you know, we have social media now, and so and whether it's accurate or not, it spreads like wildfire. And so, and perception becomes an issue. And then they start banding together, and you know, to the parents' defense, they don't always know all of the things. They don't know all the components. And like, yeah. And so it's like, then they run with that, and then it becomes this other, you know, issue. So anyway, I'm just here to try and help make that better, a better process, and be open to, and I'm not about, you know what, this framework's going to work for you. It won't work for everyone. Everyone's going to be different, and I'm willing to put in work of whatever unique situation people are in. But I definitely want to be an asset to the LEAs, and, you know, not just the parents, because then it becomes totally one-sided again. And all I get is the parent side of the information. But the LEAs don't often, I mean, they reach out to me more now that they know I'm there. I'm not going to lie. But it's like, I want them to feel like reaching out to me somehow, you know, like creates this admission of guilt or something, where I don't want that to be a situation.
Will you talk more about that, Cassie? So currently, how are LEAs reaching out to you, and for what purpose?
Well, actually, they just call me or they will email me, and they'll just say, I don't get this. And sometimes it's about stuff that really doesn't have much to do with parents even. They're just like, do you know where this is in legislation? We're supposed to have this on our website, and I don't know where this is, you know. And I will go and find it, because I have to look at all the things anyway. So I'm like, I don't know exactly, but I'll go find it for you. But so they'll reach out to me about that, and they'll reach out to me about parents. They'll say, I've got this parent that, you know, is saying this. Is that true? You know, and things like that. So that's been helpful, because then we're just opening communication anyway. And some, you know, that they know that they filed a complaint, and they're like, I just want you to know our side of the story. You know, I know you got a formal complaint for this, this, and this, and then, but this is, you know, like what we did. And by the way, it was like a human resources situation where we can't disclose that. And so then all I have to do is tell a parent, by the way, you know, and they're like, oh, I get it. I'm sorry. I didn't know that. So, and most of the time the parents will back down. They really do. And they're like, okay, I didn't know.
So you mediate.
Mm-hmm. But I can't interpret law, you know, so I just do my best of being like, this is what it says, and then, you know, here are some options. And then also, how you report things to the district matters. You can't pass the principal in the hallway and mention it and think that that's a formal complaint. You have to write it down, so, you know, bullet point, don't just, like, vomit on a page. Try and tell them exactly what your issue is, and keep your emotion out of it. Because it's hard to lead through all of that. We understand you're emotional, but try to, you know, keep it to the point. And so I think that has helped a little bit. And then I encourage them to CC me on it sometimes, so then I know that, you know, what they said. And so then if the LEA reaches out, then I can help them. So, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi, and then, you know, let you know that I'm there to help in any way possible.
So, Cassie, some of these difficult complaints that we run into, is it appropriate for us? I mean, usually we go through a process, right? We'll investigate, and our only report back to the parent is just on process. That's it.
Right.
We'll talk about the first challenges.
Right.
But,
and I think so, they think that they want that. You know what I mean? And we just have to say plainly, we can't tell you, you know.
Right. So we're pretty solid or process there, but you know, I see some value in referencing them to you so they have somebody outside the school district to talk through this idea that we can't share personnel. Would it be okay if I
absolutely like that's what I'm here for and throw my way, and if you want, and you're like, so this is the situation that we've already, you know, done. Because sometimes that's hard to, the parent will say, and they haven't done a thing, you know, nothing. They just ignore it. And I'm like, okay, are they really ignoring me? You know, and so I, you know, then I have to reach out to the LA. But the problem is, and that's what I was asking, you know, like, sometimes would it be helpful if you have someone, or even if we identified, maybe you do have someone that deals with that specific thing, but I don't know who that is. And then I'm like clawing my way through who talked to them, who's the one dealing with this. And even at the state, that's an issue. I'm trying to figure out how to create a tracking sheet, sort of, because I don't know what department.
Employee orientation. Oh, we can go ahead and start.
But I don't know where they are in the process sometimes, like which department did it end up with? And the parent's like, can you tell me what's going on with this? And it's like 6 months old and I'm trying to figure it out. But, and then, you know, the other thing is I'm, you know, I don't know. I hate to see all these. UPAC is like 3 months behind because of.
Wait till 6 months from now.
Right? I know, you know, and so, and it's just going to, and it escalates. It's, I mean, so we have a little lull right now because of summer, but. It's going to go even higher. And so anyway, it's just, you know, trying to, I do think it'll get better the more the parents are aware of what can and cannot happen and what the process is. That helps because it's like, I don't know, like a 504, you know, some things it's, you know, we don't really get to fix all of that. That some that has to go through OCR and they're, you know, we'll just totally outside. It's a totally different thing. And they're like, oh, okay. Anyway.
Well, I just want to say that they did a great job hiring.
Well, thanks.
I mean that very sincere.
You're so nice.
To have somebody with some experience that you have and common sense. I'm just
really happy
you're the one. So that gives us confidence in using your services.
Thank you.
I don't know, talk about mediation, talk about formal kind of mediation.
No, but I don't know. That becomes all hairy and stuff. I really would just like it to be, and then right now I can do as much of it as I can. But even you talk, it's all opening up and starting to disseminate funds. It's not even under me, and neither is homeschool. I took them both as a courtesy because I have worked with homeschoolers before, so I know that. And no one, you know, like at the agency, they don't really know a ton. And so I was like, I'll take that and I'll take this because I'm going to get to the complaints anyway. But oh my goodness, it's been kind of crazy, you know? So, but you know what? The board, I work mostly just with board leadership and, they've been really supportive and very helpful and very, gracious to take my feedback and be like, oh my gosh, we didn't know that this was going on. And we're like, and it's like, yeah, we got to figure out how to fix this channel. It's, you know, this is where we're just hitting the wall all the time. And so we're trying to figure some of those things out, but, that's been helpful. Yeah. So, and then the agency, you know, they've been great too, working with different departments, very supportive. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't think it's, but you know, yeah.
Well, I understand. Well, I'm excited to have you in this position.
But they did mention they're like, hey, maybe even at the Recess Centers, we could have like a person or something eventually, or, you know, something where they could help, you know, kind of filter some of those things or, yeah, I don't know. But right now I can help as best I can. And I'm pretty quick about it. I'm fast.
Right. Well, I'd like the second Mr. Swett's motion there.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you working there. I love the fact that it's someone who's been, you know, leader in a school setting to where you've been there and done that. And, you know, when I first heard of the creation of this position, I won't lie, I agreed that it was going to be a advocate for parents to hammer for parents for, you know,
I think everyone did.
And so it was a little bit of a concern, and to hear you describe it there as a middle person, honestly, just trying to help the communication between the two parties to communicate clearly is a sigh of relief to me. I appreciate that a lot. Like you say, you know, the things that come that escalate to this, I think everything you said is true, but with the addition of one more, my experience so far has been quite often, there'll be a complaint that'll come to school leadership. They will look into things and you know, deal with it. At least in their mind, it's done. It's dealt with. It's over. And then the parent either disagrees with that decision or doesn't mm-hmm. know that decision.
Yes.
And then they come to me, and it's, well, they won't listen to me.
Yeah.
And I get digging into it, and they absolutely listened to you. They just didn't agree with you.
Right. So, yeah. No, you know, I'm not.
That is just the difference of opinion, you know, and no is no sometimes. But the onus on us is to truly listen, truly understand, truly investigate, and make sure we do that. And you know, sometimes we've done a better job than that than others, to be honest, but usually we do pretty well. And that difference of opinion of outcome is where the emotions, and then that's where it goes to senators and to you.
Right. And I think too, you know, just making sure, like, I'm just throwing this out there because, and this is not something that anyone here that I've seen, but I have had a few schools that their investigation process is not necessarily very clear, and it's sort of like winging it. And that makes things messy because then you're like, who actually investigated? And then sometimes they investigate themselves. And you can't do that, you know? So anyway, I would throw that out there. That has been one of the things that I've run into. Usually it's a smaller, you know, they don't have the resources. So there are some of those things. But I agree, a lot of that does happen. And the ones that become death loops, I call them death loops, because they just go and go and go. And it's like 3 years later, and they're still going. And so those are ones where they don't agree with the outcome. And so then, you know, but I'm like, that's your right. You can take it to, you know, like you can legally take it outside of the system and deal with it that way if you want to. And that's up to them. But yeah, so I do think that a lot of it, you know, probably 80% of it can be fixed by just better communication on every side. So, you know, I'm an impartial party, really, and I try and look at that and say, oh, I can see where they're, you know, and I try and look from the parent's perspective, you know, like even navigating the agency website, you can't do that as a parent. And so I've tried to create, that's another thing, I've tried to create a page for LEAs that has, you know, resources on there. And also, and if you see anything that you're like, we should put this on there, this is really great. And two, if you feel like you have a program that is highly functioning in parent engagement and they are really working with parents to try and, you know, help collaborate on their child's learning and things like that, tell me about that so that I can highlight that so that other people can contact, because I think they're afraid of it unless someone's done it, you know, and not outside the state, someone here that they know. So anyway, I do have those two pages, and the parent portal, you can throw them to the parent portal at any time. And that has a ton of resources for parents. And I try and break them down so that through their eyes. So, anyway.
Excellent. Paul, can I jump in for a second?
You bet, Dale. Go right ahead.
You know, one of the frustrating things I've had a couple of times over the last few years that I never had before that is when there's a Title IX complaint, and we turn that to investigation. Parents get very frustrated with that process, you know, because they want us to go in and get something done and do it quickly. And when you're trying to wait on law enforcement to do investigation, a formal IX investigation, and they keep wanting some outcomes prior to those investigations even being close to completed. So I don't know if those kind of things come up, anything you can do to help us there to Yeah. They just were kicking things down the road and unwilling to take that up. And you explain the process of Title IX, and they still say, well, you should be disciplining this kid. And, well, we can't yet. And anything you can do to help with those, because once it's turned into law enforcement and Title IX, it's a process that we can't really
overcome or
sidestep.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going to be a bubble for a while. It's going to be difficult for a minute, I think. But that being said, sometimes, like, it does help for them to hear that from someone else, too. You know what I mean? Not like I'm an asshole or anything, but if I'm saying, no, this really is the process, this really is the way it is. And, I mean, even, like, for instance, I had a person that was upset because she didn't want to do a module for vaccination, you know, to become exempt. And so she was really angry at the school. You need to, you know, get after the school and stuff. And I'm like, that's a law. Like, they don't have control over that. If you don't like that law, then that you have to take up with legislation. You can't get mad at the school for that. They have no choice. And that, you know, and she still was not happy with that answer because she's just frustrated at the process at all. But I'm like, there's literally nothing that will not love. You have to go here. But if they start seeing those, like, you know, different levels of process, then there's kind of like, oh, okay. And I've had one parent that was like 3 years into it, had been just really nasty for a long time to a lot of people. And I just had a 30-minute conversation with them, and I was like, this is how it really works. I wish I would have known that. I feel horrible. I feel so bad that I had been so mean to everyone. And so I was like, well, that's what I'm here for. Anyway, yeah. But I just wanted to, like, physically come here because I feel like, you know, like you said, when you hear about the position, it doesn't sound very good, you know, for Allie Hayes. But I'm really, it's just me. It's just me. And most people, well, a lot of, there's been different people now, but, you know, you guys know me. I'm not crazy or mean or.
We're very happy that it should.
So anyway, but please feel free to reach out. And if you are thinking, and remember, I'm a direct report to the board. So if you find you're like, this is a big old gap, or this is something that, you know, we need more resources here or whatever, tell me so that we can start that conversation and start trying to make headway. I always want things fixed like 2 years ago. So I don't like how slowly the wheels move, but I try to, you know, make some headway.
Great. Is there any other comments online? All right. Thank you so much.
You guys, thank you so much for letting me come.
You have your number right here.
Yep.
We're going
to
be.
I'm so easy to find.
Thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys letting me. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your little tiny bit of summer.
Summer is
over. It's over. I know. It never. There's never even a summer, is there?
No, they go by with plenty.
Yes.
It's great to see you. Thanks
you too. Thanks, Ingrid.
Thanks, Gavin. Hey, let us know how we can help you with sport.
Well, I appreciate that. And we'll probably come out and check out some of you guys. You've got some good things going on, and I'd like to come and check it out.
I'll be in touch. We'd love to have you come too.
I would love that. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's a great idea. Wider teach. Okay.
Good. That's refreshing. That's our parent liaison. Okay, moving on. Piper, I'm going to slip out here in a few minutes.
Okay.
I'll just stand up and slip out. Yeah.
We started our FY24 audit last week, and so we have a progress risk assessment for both FY24 and the coming year. This is a point of information to share with the board. And so you'll see that we score in the low risk. And I will say that we had an increase in our concern compared to last year. So Yay us. Thank you, Becca, right. for all of the work that that is. And continues to be. All right. Legislative USB updates. I might share here, so for no particularly you recall conversation around risk management and trying to make more funds available for attorney help. Dale, this was brought up in person meeting as well. I circled back after IRSA with Director Rachel Terry and shared the feedback. She was very open to it. So she'll be at USSA in September, but maybe I'll just front load this group really quick. That so law does not allow her to provide representation from the AG office, which is what IRSA people were saying would be ideal. But it's not legal for the AG's office to be providing
legal advice.
Thank you, legal advice. So, but she's looking at ways to benefit all LEAs in that same, you know, way that she had discussed for recess, that she would provide a vetted list based on topic and would have money set aside to assist. She was a little bummed. Like she was able to accept and understand the feedback that rural districts. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Good luck. Don't want to be singled out for assistance. But she said as she, you know, puts this together with Angie Stallings' help, that this isn't necessarily assistance that larger districts need. And so that's the only maybe kind of still a concern to her. Like, I get that they want this for everybody, but not everybody needs it. Are the larger districts have sufficient resources? But anyway, when she presents on September 9th in USSA, I wanted everyone to know that that conversation continued, moved from recess to all of these. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Legislative or USB? Anybody here or online have anything? Okay. All right, Superintendent Mom's in charge now. I don't know.
There goes the...
We did talk about that when meeting started. Sorry, Greg. Superintendent Young and Sweat asked him if he would continue the meeting. Are you okay if I move to IRSA updates?
Yes, good.
So we met at the IRSA conference, that's the IRSA board, and had a great conversation. I do want to, Dale, am I correct? I had never seen so much participation at the July 1, and I think just because of the location and time. But is it correct to say that any RESA LEA leader could attend those meetings?
Yes, certainly.
I wanted to just share them that invitation now that I know it is appropriate. So our next meeting is September 17th. It's at Juab School District for in-person, and there's a meeting link for those who don't online. And there's typically about a half and half balance there. So if you have to be online, don't feel weird about that. There's always that need, so it's okay. And then IRSA Planning Committee. We are taking on our first IRSA conference, Y25. And I am looking to create a planning committee from our region. We already, as a staff, taken on specific assignments. But as I looked at the IRSA conferences with the other RESAs, it really had taken a larger group than just the center employees. So if you will consider clicking that link and adding a representative from your LEA, we would be super grateful for that. And then I'll start putting together meetings where we can start making a plan. Any questions or comments about that?
On the round table and the information that you want to talk about?
Just a reminder, board meeting schedule is right here for FY25. It is a unique attempt this year, so check it out. And again, we can circle back and see if the board continues to like the plan. And I just tried to put some reminders here as we enter a new year about some of the services that we provide that you're welcome to reach out to staff. Or so those are listed there. And I'll be sending out an invite soon for both the Region Leadership Conference and the Front Office Staff Conference.
All right. Dale, do you have anything?
Just maybe a report at our summer meeting. Basically, Kobe did most of the reporting on the NEST committee and where we were at that point with that committee. We've since then met with all the BAs and did have a very high percentage of BAs represented. It was an online meeting, but most BAs were represented. There was some input given there, probably more input given there than there was at the superintendent's meeting, but it hasn't changed significantly. I guess instead of asking for the 4.7, if we go to 5, that makes it so Emory is not a loser. That adds about $2 million to the ask, so it'll go from 11 to 13. Obviously, everybody else benefits from that. I hope that's not too much. We do have a meeting lined up. Ben and Lexi, Ben Leishman from Legislative Auditors, our analyst, is put together a meeting. We're going to be meeting with them on the 20th. He's invited several people that will probably end up drafting the legislation if it goes. Karen Peterson will be there, Senator Milner, again, some drafting attorneys. And we're hoping that our plan will get enough support at that meeting to at least get something in a bill. And I think if so, Karen will run it. And the big hope for coming out of this is that we're going to have something in place that they'll buy that'll be ongoing every year that will increase in value as the WPU goes up, so we don't have to continually go back and ask for additional NEST money and just keep sticking our neck out there. If we can get the bill, it'll just be built into WPU increases, and I hope everybody would be happy. Everybody, like I said, is either break even or winner. And certainly down the road, with that build in, everybody will be winners. So the meeting on the 20th, I think, is significant, but, we've spent quite a bit of time with Dale Frost at USBE. They've talked to Ben a little bit, and I'm hopeful that at that meeting, we're going to make some progress and and get some draft legislation in place, and then how much tweaking has to go on during the session will be interesting. And I, for me personally, other people on the committee are not as pessimistic as I am. I'm just hoping we can get the 13 million, because if we don't, then the whole formula kind of falls apart. But the 13 million is a whole lot less than the started out at 30 and then drew back to 24 million they were talking last year. And we're going to try and really build on that. But hey, we've got a solution that's a lot less money than you were talking a year ago. So give it to us in one time, not over 3 years, and let's get this thing to bed. So that's where we're at, and I'll let you know more after the meeting on the 20th. Did everybody go to sleep?
You hear us?
Oh, you can't hear us, huh?
Dale, can you hear us?
Oh, now I can. I couldn't for a minute. I thought I must have put everybody to sleep.
No.
I have a question for you, and I probably should know the answer to this already, but the way it's set up, whether, you know, the way it's set up initially or even in the new proposal, if a school or a district sizes out or, you know, for whatever reason, no longer qualifies for NESS, is the does that mean everybody gets more, or does the legislature hold back that amount from the whole pot?
I think I know the answer to that. And no, I think there would be, they would hold that out, that it's appropriated based on the administrative cost and by the school level. And that's how the money's appropriated. So if the school were to, you know, no longer qualify, then that much less would be appropriated.
Yeah. That's, I get why it would be that way, but I see that as a potential flaw for us, you know, in the legislature's favor, because it benefits them to exclude more people in the future. It works with the legislators we have right now, but what happens, you know, several years down the road? So it was just a thought I had, a question I had. So,
well, and I hope that what we've done with who qualifies and so forth, that one of their complaints going into this was that, you know, there's been too many exceptions and too many this and that. Hopefully they won't become arbitrary on who's in and out, that they'll stick with the formula, and it won't be just something that they jump in and out of. And you know, very honest, Superintendent Mon, one of the things that they're hung up on is your school, and what we're just going to be hardline on there from our perspective is that's nothing to do with the NESS committee. That's a boundary issue between South Summit and Park City, and you don't want to get into boundary issues, or there's boundary issues all over Salt Lake Valley. So that's a totally separate issue from what we're trying to do with NESS funding.
I agree. I talked to Kobe about that, and it should be a separate issue.
Yeah.
That I, you know, that's what I get paid to do, is advocate that, you know, so.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I appreciate that you guys are not letting that be the sticking point, because that holds everybody up.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'd like to know which legislators got to Ben and made that an issue, but it's, to me, it's just a totally separate issue when you start talking district boundaries. That's not a NESS formula issue.
Yeah. Well, I know with Silver Summit, part of their beef is that it's so close to Park City School District, but the legislature created the state as an open enrollment state. So students in Silver Creek are not eligible to go to Park City because their board has declared it closed. And in that case, I can see why you would justify putting NESS money into that school as opposed to if Park City was open. But that's not for you guys to take on. That's for me to trip. So
yeah.
I appreciate the work you're putting into it.
Well, and Kobe and Chad, the BA from Richfield, have done the brunt of the work with those formulas and everything, but hopefully we're at a spot where we can do it, and I just hope we can get it through, and then so we're not begging every year.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks. How about Andy? Do you have anything for the round table?
I do not.
All right. How about out in Duchesne?
Sorry about that. I had to answer a quick knock at the door. Say it again.
Just, do you have anything for the round table? Okay. You in a river?
No.
All right. How about you, Bruce? All right,
do
you guys have anything?
No. I'm curious about the student impact requirement, not just the sorority process. You know, as you look at the standards, there's always going to be those gray areas, right? And I've heard some talk that, well, we're going to just overwhelm and bombard, you know, UPAC with these complaints. And I, you know, I feel like on our end, we're probably going to, when we can, in the day, handle things at the local level and just take care of things the way we always have. I'm just curious if what other superintendents are thinking and how much concern there might be with this change. Any thoughts out there, guys?
I don't know all the details really well, so I might be speaking without knowledge, but the way I understand it is, let's see, help me and correct me. If it's a parent complaint, then we are required to send them in every time. If it's a complaint that comes in other than parent, so from a colleague or something like that, then we do have some latitude to look into a little bit before we send it to UPAC. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I think I've heard is true.
So it's only required to be submitted if it's a parent complaint that there was a violation of the standards, the professional standards that UPAC covers. And that's where the gray comes in, because, you know, one of the examples that UPAC gave was that the teacher failed to put grades in the grade book for 3 weeks, and they said that was required. That's a real tight interpretation of standards. It's, you know, that's pretty great. I'm saying that in that scenario, I may interpret those standards differently than maybe others. And my interpretation is going to probably be less tight, if that's fair. Everything's open to interpretation, right? And that's where the wiggle room comes in. Is it truly a violation of the professional standards? If so, which standard, and how do we, you know, that's going to be our first part of our process when we get a parent complaint, is this really a complaint of a professional standard? And if so, which one? So.
Except kind of best practices, right word that this can help, you know, provide a little bit of sort of, you know, some way to we all feel like we're supporting one another and making similar interpretations.
Right. Well, I think we all will go and finish.
No, that's just, yeah, just to streamline it to feel a little less, again, like we're on our own islands.
I would guess we all feel similar. If there's a boundary violation, if there's, you know, anything that has to do with the law, to me, that's a UPAC issue.
I agree.
Anything that doesn't involve the law, I think should, now this is a soapbox, but it should be handled in-house. And then a parent, we had an issue last year. It actually stemmed from an issue 3 years ago, but we did our investigation. The school did their investigation. Parent wasn't happy. Appealed to me. I did an investigation. Parent wasn't happy. Parent sent emails to UPAC, legislators, USBE board members, I mean, the fraud hotline got it. I mean, so everybody sieged on UPAC for this terrible problem at South Summit. UPAC came in, investigated it, and again, found nothing there. So I could see sending those parent things on. So if a parent is unhappy with I just think it's common sense. We do our job, and if a parent's happy with it, fine, appeal it to UPAC then. But that's not how it's written.
It's written now, right? It's written. If there's a parent complaint, that parent complaint relates to a standard, professional standard.
Right.
We, by law now, have to submit that to UPAC, right, whether it's substantiated or not. They're not even giving us a chance to do it.
Right, I know.
We don't even have a chance to do it. We have to submit it, and we have to notify the professional that we have submitted.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, this could be a culture. Really could be.
Well,
if we get too hot and happy about submitting these, it's going to kill the trust and the culture of our professional staff.
To that point, that employee finished the year out, but said, I'm done. You know, and thankfully they weren't frustrated with us, the district. They're really frustrated with the state and just how parents are able to make life so miserable for them that they bailed. They're out of the profession after 25 years of being in the profession.
Yeah.
My plan has been to try to capitalize on like the ribeye rendezvous, you know, any conversations I can have with legislators specifically about UPAC. It doesn't change the law right now, but it may have an impact in the next session.
This to me feels like another example of how our legislature is, getting those conservative principles of local control, right? This is a huge infringement on local control. And it's going to create bureaucracy. You think UPAC's going to be able to handle? They can't handle the ones that were 3 months behind. You're 3 months behind in about a year from now. That's the reality. So, let's create this huge bureaucracy to deal with parent complaints. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
That's what we're hired to do. By a local board.
Yep.
And I think okay, the breaking of laws. I get that. We have to keep teachers that have engaged in criminal behavior from being able to obtain work in the next district. Like that, there's a clear function and purpose of that, right? To protect kids in the spirit of child protection. But when we're talking about not putting grades in a grade book for 3 weeks, are you kidding me? I mean, is that, how about a check for references, local districts, and make sure that this is a responsible professional, but this goes way above and beyond that.
Agreed.
I mean,
go ahead, Dale.
I would just agree with what Rick's saying, that the whole thing smacks of lack of trust and what we do at the district level. And even as welcome as we were to the lady that made the presentation earlier today as the liaison, the whole need for a legislative position of a liaison is that we're incapable of communicating with parents. And I just think that's a scary mindset that seems to be out there, is that I think we do a good job of communicating with parents. The problem is if we don't agree with them, then they say we didn't communicate. And somehow we can't keep on this road of every time we disagree, then somehow it's our fault. We've got to go look for an outside answer to what we do, because I just don't know how they're ever going to fix the basic issue that those problems have to be resolved at the LEA or the school level, and getting additional people's not going to fix that.
Well, to build on or add to what you're saying, Dale, I think some of what the legislature, and they've admitted this, some of what the response is coming from is people hear on talk radio or on, a show, how bad it is, all the mistrust and distrust in school systems, other places. And so people freak out and say, we have to create a law to prevent this. Well, it's not happening. So So, you know, quit wasting your time.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're a solution in search of a problem.
That's right.
The other way around.
Well, now I literally had a representative this summer say, if you want to know what's coming down the pipe, listen to this person and this person on radio or TV. And 6 months later, that's what you're going to be dealing with at the state level. Okay, there's the crystal ball. Anyway. Okay, I don't have anything. The round table.
Bruce is packed when asked.
Oh, Bruce. Do you have anything?
No. Anybody got a maintenance director they want to send my way? Well, my guy just quit, so. everything's great. Except for the things that aren't.
I just flashed the cameras on when you said that, because you said that straight face.
Yeah.
Well,
I you know, I had to miss the that presentation in Cedar City. Sounds like I've missed something significant. I have utter disdain for UPAC.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. I'm with Rick. It's culture killer.
Could be.
So. All right. Well, I think we got everyone on our round table. Leave everything else on the agenda. Right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll entertain a motion. To adjourn?
So moved.
All right. We are adjourned. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you all.
Hey, guys.
Thanks to everybody. Sorry I wasn't able to be there. But.
We're good. Thanks for joining us. Take care.
Piper.